It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the Cowboys, where the D in Big D stands for what the actual heck was that? We're all over the craziest finish of all time. And will it be the finish for their embattled head coach? Wait till you hear what Jerry had to say after the clock hit zero. Plus, Brady and Mahomes cruising to round two. Are they on a collision course for another Super Sunday? We've got all the answers as we get up with you starting right now. Get Up, presented by T-Mobile. Danny and Rex are here. RC's on the way. Dominique on the way. Stephen A. you'll hear from today.
Come on, boys.
Ed Werder, let's go. Take us to it. The game of the day, the finish of the year. Cowboys, Niners. Think folks were excited about this one in Big D? Take a look at the mad dash the second the doors were open.
We got a special finish for him.
Here we go. Third quarter. Cowboys are down 16-7, second and 28. Dak, this is one he'd like to have back, Dan.
Just not seeing the field well. He's working inside out. That ball should go to the perimeter every single time. He forces it inside. A great nickel like Williams is going to pick it off all the time.
And then the very next play, it's Debo.
Watch the vision. You know, the defense overruns. He sets his block, then cut back, and then burst, right? You get in between two defenders, and they're not fast enough because of the burst from Debo Samuel.
It's 23-7, and we got memes in the stands. But hold on. With Jerry Jones looking on, the Cowboys not going down without a fight. Fourth and five, they're punting near midfield. Or are they? Sneaky Cowboys.
I love the play call. Really good execution. The gunner gets that defender to fall off. Ball comes out on time, like Pat McAfee would love to see. But then the lack of coordination from the Cowboys is inexcusable.
Yeah, that was John Fossil, the special teams coordinator. They keep the punt team on until there's 15 seconds left. Rex,
oh, they're so tricky. They're so tricky. They mess themselves up. Another penalty for Dallas.
And leads to a delay of game. If only that were the only clock management issue they had. All right, fourth quarter. Down, up by 13. Jimmy G, you can't do this.
The internal pressure that forces Jimmy G out to his right. This Cowboys defense has taken the football away all season long. It sails on him. Dallas gets exactly what they need.
That's what they needed. And on a third down, Dak takes it home.
Yeah, good job by Dak Prescott, realizing the left side of that offensive line collapsed. The defensive line, he could run it in himself.
23-17. Here we go. Four and a half to play. Third and long for the 49ers. Garoppolo. That's almost picked off. The Cowboys are going to get the ball back, but hold on. We got a defensive penalty. Hands to the face.
It's 100% the right call. It's an easy call in that moment.
Yeah, there were a lot of defensive penalties later in the drive. Garoppolo, we got Samuel stopped short of the first down, and so the Cowboys are going to get it back. Under 2 minutes to play. They had fourth and 11 about midfield with three timeouts left. Rex, should they have punted here?
Well, hindsight, yes.
But they don't, and instead they get the blitz, and they fling it up here. Dan, what did you think of the play?
Well, they should have been better prepared for the pressure. They get an unblocked defender because Dallas never checks, and then there's nowhere to go with the football. Dak tries to heave it downfield. She's terribly upset.
We got memes all over the stands, but hold on. The 49ers, they're not done yet. Samuel, the Cowboys
they
are going to make the
they
stop.
Got him.
But wait a minute. Rex, it's defensive holding.
Yeah, well, that's a great tackle by Gregory on that. But
the only problem, he doesn't have the ball.
How could you do that in that situation?
One penalty after another later in the drive. This is it. Cowboys have no timeouts. If Debo gets the first down, the game is over. He's got the first down. The game is over. The 49ers are actually waving goodbye to the fans. But hold on, Dan. He's actually short.
Yeah, San Francisco 49ers fans hate technology in this moment. He's just a couple inches short. And then Kyle Shanahan's got to make the decision. Is he going to go for it, or is he going to punt the football deep?
They took a delay and wound up punting. So, Cowboys, last chance. Here we go. First play, really nice play.
Well, you're looking for a chunk, so they go hook and ladder. Throw the in-route, CeeDee Lamb follows. This is a phenomenal start for their two-minute drill.
18 seconds left to play there near midfield. This one to Dalton Schultz.
Another nice out route. You get out of bounds again. This start to this two-minute drill was almost perfect for the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah.
And then here's the moment. 14 seconds left. Underline that number. 14 seconds. Prescott keeps it. He's down. Watch the clock. Tick, 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 tick. The umpire is named Ramon George. He has to spot the football. The umpire has to spot the football. And as a result, the clock strikes zero. The Cowboys turn into a pumpkin as it clocks midnight before they can get the ball snapped. Look look at the disorganization in the biggest moment of their season. And just like that, the referee gets up and says the words the Cowboy fans did not want to hear. The game is over. The Niners
That's
advance.
The
Cowboys are done. And they were shocked.
Made the call knowing that we're in a get some yards and get down and got to clock it, knowing that situation, something we've practiced over and over again. Went, got some yards, went down. As I was getting behind Tyler, saw 4 seconds left. Thought it was time, obviously, to make sure everybody was set. And then, honestly, just got hit from behind. And then still there. When I gathered myself, saw 2 seconds and thought I could get the snap and get it down before time expired. And unsure exactly what happened other than that.
It's like anything else. Do you want to be running a Hail Mary play from the 50-yard line, or you want to be running 5 verticals from the 25-yard line? So that's the decision. It's the right decision. It's just like anything. It's, the execution between us and the officiators putting the ball obviously wasn't in tune. We shouldn't have had any problem getting the ball spotted there. Is that the quote you're looking for?
Okay, so there's a lot to unpack. And because he said that, I didn't plan to start there, but because he's saying that, Rex, did the officials do anything wrong in that situation? Both Dak and McCarthy are clearly suggesting that they did everything right, and it's the officials' fault they didn't get the ball clocked. Is that accurate?
Absolutely not. The officials did everything right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. This thing right here is horrible execution. Number one, you could really question the play calling, because mm-hmm. I certainly do.
Right.
But the officials did everything right. They have to get in position and spot the football. The man is coming in there clearly trying to spot it. Give him the football.
Right.
That's what you're supposed to do. You want to execute the play? Give the official the football.
Right.
And they don't do it. So guess what? The clock ran out. Sorry. Okay, sorry. See you later. That's the way every snap is done.
Mm.
The official spots the football.
Yeah, that's an important point. Romo made it on the telecast, and you've heard it over and over again. The official has to spot the football. So rather than those guys handing the ball to each other, someone, Rex, what does he need to be doing?
Right.
He needs to give the ball to the official.
Hand it to him.
Hand it to him. He spots the football.
All right, Dan, show us. We can talk about this. You've heard the talk. Show us exactly what did and did not get happened.
Let me get
there.
My Kenny the Jet. Kenny the Jet to the screen. Okay, so this play is all about the Cowboys' lack of awareness and a lack of execution. So in this situation, I want to point this out. 14 seconds. This is the max that I could get to. I prefer 16 seconds play call-wise, but 14 seconds is the bare minimum near-death experience I need to execute a play. First step when you're teaching this play, no matter who the ball carrier is, he needs to understand that they have to at some point declare themselves down. That extra 2 or 3 yards that they might try to get is not worth it, because it's going to take an extra second or two. Somebody has to declare themselves down, get down to make sure that you save the seconds on the clock. So there's 10 seconds right now. Dak Prescott, go down around the 30-yard line. Instead, you get to the around 24, 25-yard line. There's an extra second. That matters. Second step is this, and Coach just talked about it. Get up and find the official and give him the football. Larry Fitzgerald style, right? Usually Larry Fitzgerald would be running in here getting the football right now. Right now, Dak Prescott's going around going, okay, Beatrice is trying to get the football. Dak doesn't know what to do. You run to the official and hand him the ball. You do not toss the ball to the official. It's the heat of the moment. They're 60 years old. Don't trust them to catch the ball. You go and hand it to him like a leader would do. Now, the third thing is this. You got to get into a legal formation. Everybody with urgency, get into a legal formation. I just want you guys to watch some of these players on offense. Yep. Tell me if these guys look like they have urgency. Like, these guys don't even have any urgency. They look unprepared for the moment right now. No one's running, getting lined up. That's it, how you look like as a football team that's unprepared. Now, I want to pause it here. In this moment, you should also teach your football team of the 9-1-1 situation. Hey, guys, we called the play. The ideal moment didn't happen. We lost a couple seconds on the clock. You should, as a quarterback, be running down. 9-1-1! 9-1-1! The spike is off. Everybody now turns into Hail Mary mode. We should be running Hail Mary down the field. 3 seconds. Every time the ball gets snapped, it has to be 2 seconds off the clock. In that moment, your break even should be 3 seconds. Dak Prescott, if you get to line of scrimmage and it doesn't happen ideally, 3 seconds, you should be communicating to everybody the Hail Mary is on, and then we have at least have a shot to win the football game. The Cowboys showed poor preparation, they showed poor awareness, and they showed poor execution. This is not on the officials. This is on the players and the coaching staff to be ready for the moment.
That's exceptionally well done. So Rex, let's go through all of that bit by bit. Let's start with the play call itself. You heard McCarthy say, would you rather have five verticals from the 24, wherever it is that he is? 50. He said the 50. They were actually on the 41, but that's, let's not quibble over that for the moment. Was the risk worth the yardage that they got?
No, absolutely not. And Dan talks about 16 seconds.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the line of demarcation. It really is. For 30 years, I mean, that's what they told me.
16 seconds. 16 seconds.
And then Dak approached it that way as if that was going to be it. Like, you have 16 seconds or whatever.
Right.
But you still got to give the ball to the officials. So the mechanics of the play was absolutely awful. And, Dan, I thought your point about it's not getting in a spot to spike the football, but to run a play, that certainly wasn't on the minds of the Dallas Cowboys.
No, they spike it. He actually does physically spike the football.
Exactly. Right. And so to me, there's so many things that were wrong on this. But I have to say this, Greeny.
Yes.
This game ended appropriately.
Yeah.
With all the clock management we've had, the issues with this football team the entire season, it ended appropriately.
They had the most penalties of any team in the National Football League. They had 14 penalties yesterday.
Yeah, well, we just showed that clip of the fake punt, right? It felt like the fake punt was a precursor to what potentially ended the football game. Again, this is situationally being prepared. You run the fake punt if you're the Dallas Cowboys. The way you communicate to your football team is, guys, if we run this fake punt and we get it, our special teams is going to stay out there. And if around 25 seconds the 49ers don't panic, offense, we're running on the field. Hey, offense, be ready on the sideline. We're in 11 personnel, one back, one tight end. Guys, we're going to run on the field, and we're going to run double right, you know, everybody, two jet hook or something like that. So the lack of, like, watch the sideline. Fossil's on the sideline like this. Like, everybody
hold
get back.
Back.
Was there guys getting on the field? Was there a lack of, hey, what are we doing in the situation? So in that moment, you see it, and then the game ends that way. You can't tell me. Here's the thing. If I'm Jerry Jones, I'm watching the situation going.
Oh, man.
I pay you as a coach to be ready for the moment, and then I pay you as a quarterback to be elite in the moment, and neither of those happened.
It's that moment there, by the way, that punt play, you see the same official, the umpire, Ramon George, is holding on to the football
because
before
of
they
substitution.
Snap it because of the same circumstance.
Right.
So the point is, to your point about the precursor, we had the same exact situation happen earlier in the second half, and there it comes back to end their season.
And it just looked like the Cowboys were playing a guessing game. Instead of, you know, being ready for any and all situations, they were playing the guessing game.
Let's make clear also on that last play, 16 seconds, 14 seconds, you coach that over and over. You practice
over
that play.
Over.
That's not the first time they did that. So in practice, he's handing the ball to an official, right?
No, absolutely. Look, you have officials. We used to have officials at all of our practices. So when you do the 2 minute, it's not just here, but even when you catch a ball in a 2 minute,
right,
what do you teach your receivers
right
to do? Hand the ball to the official. That's the fast thing. You made a great point about not throwing it.
Don't
they
throw
can drop it.
Right.
So this is just common sense. It looked like to me, do these dudes even practice? Like, I'm wondering, because it certainly didn't look like it on the punt. And in this situation, I bet they practiced this play.
Sure.
But how many times did they actually give the ball to the official?
But my question would be, how many times did they practice it not working ideally?
Yeah,
sure, in practice,
seconds.
You work it out, and it's ideal in practice, and the official's right there waiting for you at practice, and you can hand it to him. But when your blood pressure is up and it's the moment, how many times did they prepare for the worst-case scenario? And that's what it looked like to me, that they weren't ready if it didn't work out to their ideal standard.
When you consider the drama at the finish of this game, the not one but two defensive penalties that extended San Francisco drives at the end,
sure,
and then the first down by Deebo Samuel that's overruled by a quarter of an inch on the replay, and then for it to end like this, it's one of the most dramatic finishes we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And we are just starting on this game. We have so much more to do. Plus, we will get to the others. Mahomes starts off slow, then just lights up the Steelers. Did he put the rest of the AFC on notice? We'll talk about that. And then, of course, we're all over this game, the disastrous day in Dallas. Where was their offense? Will there be coaching changes? We're just getting started. Put your feet up. We're getting up with you on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is presented by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network. And only one place to go for this morning's wake-up call, the wild finish, Niners and Cowboys. Listen.
Two receivers go left, including Tony Pollard. It's a design run for Dak Prescott. 30, 25, gets hit from behind by Aziz Alshire. They got to get up and clock the ball. 5, 4, 3, 2. Dak, will he get it off in time?
No.
With 1 second to go, did he spike the ball in time or
no,
not?
No, he did not.
He did not.
That's the end of the game.
Game is over. The 49ers have won. They're on their way to Lambeau.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness is right. And Twitter went insane, as you would imagine, right after this game. Our buddy Booger McFarland, that's not on the refs. The official has to touch the ball before the play can start. Terrible play call. He was definitely not alone in that. Our buddy Marcus Spears tweeting, "Nah, I'm upset at 14 penalties in an offense that couldn't pee a drop. I'm cleaning that up and only ran the ball 16 times with the running backs. Miss me with the ref stuff." So Marcus didn't like it. Damian Woody, "I'm sorry, but Mike McCarthy should be fired." So that obviously becomes the next order of business here. What does this mean for the coaching? Give a listen.
Do you have any concerns about your future with this organization?
I don't have any concerns. I'm proud to be standing here today. Proud of my football team.
Is there any possibility of you making a coaching change?
I don't even want to discuss anything like that at this particular time. No discussion about anything.
Coming out down 13-0, did this team look unprepared today?
Again, I'm not going to discuss coaching, the preparation, any of those things. That's not on the table. The game speaks for itself.
Well, if the game speaks for itself, we all saw what it said or could hear clearly what it said. And how many times this season do we talk about the Cowboys and their coach and clock management? Right. And how many times did I say, well, it didn't cost them in that situation. It didn't cost them. But what should happen if it costs them a playoff game? And for it to end the way it did is just extraordinary. Dan, what does it mean?
Well, I look at the final play and I say the two people that are most responsible for that final play are the head coach and the quarterback. And you're not firing the quarterback. And I just think it's very difficult to look at that game and say that Mike McCarthy gives this Dallas Cowboys football team the best chance to be champions. This is a team that is talented enough to be a NFC Championship Super Bowl caliber team. Jerry Jones last week said it himself. It is Super Bowl or bust. And when I look at this football team under Mike McCarthy, now how it ends yesterday, you heard the reporter say you fell down 13-0 at home. That's a direct correlation to being ready for the football game. 14 penalties, broke a franchise record. 8 of those penalties, by my count, either gave San Francisco a first down or took a first down away from the Dallas Cowboys. Again, unprepared. Mike McCarthy in his 2 years as the Dallas Cowboys head coach is 18-15. With Dak Prescott, outside of the NFC East, they're 6-9. In 2 years as the head coach, with Dak Prescott as his starting quarterback, outside of the NFC East, who's the worst division in football over the past 2 years, they are 6-9. The football team is average. The head coach has not made them above average. And yesterday he had the opportunity to be a reason why they found a way to win that home playoff game, and he only attributed to being a reason why they lost it.
Rex?
Well, as a head coach, and he's not a play caller, okay? Mm-hmm.
So what is your job as a head coach? Well, it's motivation. Your team needs to be popping out of their skin, especially playing in a playoff game.
At home.
At home. Was that team? I don't know. I'm just saying. All right, you be the judge of it, okay? You're also penalties as a reflection of your team in preparation. For the 2 years he's been there, they've led the league in penalties both years. Mm. So that's a shot at him. I'm not saying you fire the guy or whatever, but clock management is the number one thing. And this team, we've said it all year, they've had clock issues the entire season. So the other thing that you got to look at, they have Kellen Moore, who I call, you know, we've been calling Boy Wonder forever.
Sure.
Are you going to want him to leave your building if he has other head coaching opportunities? This is a homegrown guy. We've seen Jerry Jones fire Jimmy Johnson, for goodness sakes. Mm-hmm. All right? My dad got fired after 3 years in a row going to the playoffs with the Philadelphia Eagles back when that was really the East, when you had Parcells with the Giants, Gibbs with the Redskins, and you had Jimmy Johnson with Dallas. So you can fire a coach for many reasons. Every one of these things could be a check. Now, I'm not saying it. Look, this man did win a Super Bowl. Okay, in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Now, there's some people think that you ought to win more than one Super Bowl if Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback. So that's good news, bad news. We're going to see what happens here. You know what I've said at the beginning of the year. Don't be surprised. And now we've come full circle.
So the football team, are they a disciplined football team?
Certainly not.
No.
Do they look like to be a prepared football team? Not only this moment. We talked about it. I remember talking about it with the Chargers game and Ryan Clark saying he's the worst coach on staff. And I was like, that's aggressive. And it looks like RC was absolutely spot on. And then there's moments throughout the season when situations happen and the explanation to why the situation happened is very head scratching for all of us, right? And then yesterday happens. They're undisciplined. They're unprepared. And I said it in the A block. I pay you as the owner, I'm paying you to make sure our football team is prepared for these moments. The fake punt, they look unprepared, unaware. The end of the game, they look unprepared or unaware. So what? I'm trying not to be a jerk, but like, what would be the reason that you feel good about bringing him back as the head coach?
And the obvious thing is, guys, when you don't meet expectations, that is what
Jerry Jones said it himself last week. Yep. His words, Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah, and we played it on this show, and we said here, the pressure is on the head coach, and we see how it ends. And even after the game was over, it was not clear that either the coach or the quarterback knew that they had gotten it wrong. We have much more on this. Right. Ed Werder will join us from Dallas with the insight into what it might mean for the coach and what it might mean for the quarterback. Time ran out on the Cowboys yesterday, on their game, on their season. What will it mean? Dominique Foxworth is going to jump in with his perspective. I can only imagine what the family group chat looked like last night. He'll tell us next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You are watching Get Up, presented by T-Mobile.
Lift every voice and sing.
Dr. Martin Luther King stood for so much. He stood for resilience. He stood for perseverance. He stood for pride. He stood for justice and making a difference for the whole entire world, changing the dynamic of how this world is operated. So much love for him and everything that he's done to impact my nation.
We thank you for starting this special day with us. What an incredible finish last night. In case you're just joining us, once again, going quickly over the issue. You see the fans there in Dallas could not have been more excited for this playoff game. Their team started slow. Here's where it was decided. Up 23-10, Dan, the one thing Jimmy G couldn't do was throw a pass.
Yeah, the pass rush forces him out to his right. This is a defense that led the NFL in takeaways, that ball sails, and Dallas, who had no life, finally has some.
And that turned into this. Dak cashing it in to put them right in the game. game.
You need it. Third and goal. Left side of your offensive line collapses the defensive line. I like the no hesitation from Dak. Go score.
And one crazy thing after another would ultimately lead to this. The Cowboys getting the ball back. No timeouts left. Not a person in the place sitting down. They've run a beautiful play here on this lateral.
You're trying to get the chunk, so you throw that in route. CeeDee Lamb follows it. You give that lateral really good start. You're going to have the opportunity to get an out route to Dalton Schultz, and then they go quarterback draw.
And then the play that we'll be talking about forever. Again, Dak and Dan Orlovsky did such a good job of diagramming this. They do absolutely everything wrong. Dak should have given himself up earlier. Someone needs to hand the ball to the umpire who has to spike it. And in the end, they don't get another snap off. The season ends there. A season in which clock management issues were such a source of conversation and occasional controversy wind up biting them in the worst possible moment. The 49ers are going on to Lambeau Field next weekend, and the Cowboys are going home far earlier
than
any of them ever expected.
I've never seen that come down, you know, the way it came down, you know, as far as the collision between the umpire and the quarterback, you know, trying to get inside the 30-yard line to set up the last play. Communication that I was given on the sideline that they were reviewing it. They were going to put, you know, time back on the clock. And the next thing I know that they're running off the field.
When you practice it, as I said, as we've done over and over again, you're not necessarily worried about it. You don't prepare for things like that. But, I mean, I guess we'll start having to, knowing the way this just played out. The fans felt the same way as us, and that's what they're doing it for. Then, yeah, I'm guessing that's why the fans, I mean, guess that's why the refs took off and got out of there so fast. Yeah, I think everybody's upset with the way that this this thing played out, and we definitely underachieved, and it sucks.
All right, so to be clear, the referee Alex Camp said afterwards there was nothing wrong with the way the umpire handled that situation, saying he was simply spotting the ball properly. He collided with the players as he was setting the ball because he was moving it to the proper spot. I think it is imperative. I'm going to bring Dominique into the conversation here, but it is imperative again because all of us reacted the same way. Mike McCarthy and Dak are blaming the umpire for bumping into him and all of that, and you have made the point repeatedly. It is the player's job to turn around and hand the ball to the official. The official did not get that wrong,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's 100%. Whoever has the football, your job is to get down and then find the official. Very Larry Fitzgerald style. It is not the official's job to go get the football from you. You have to go bring the official, bring the football to the official and hand it to him. Don't toss it to him. Hand to him. Make sure it's secured. Not all the running around.
Look, I can't get inside anyone's head, but he looks like he's standing up there to try and spike it immediately. This is the Larry Fitzgerald play.
Look at Larry. Run in. Give me the football. Now you go. Look at him. Hand it to the official. Hand it to the official, and then that ball gets spiked. Every second matters. This is who Larry Fitzgerald is. This is what he's always done. Look at him. This is a guy that looks – is there any moment where the Cowboys looked like they had a guy ready for that situation? Absolutely not.
That is like the teaching tape that we hear all the time about here, Rex. Very quickly, just on them blaming – I'm going to get Nika in a second, but on them blaming the officials there, because clearly that's what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Blame yourself. Don't blame the officials. The officials did it exactly right.
Okay, that's I think it's important that we say that because I don't want anyone who didn't see it to get up this morning and say, oh, the Cowboys got screwed by the officials in this case. They cost them the game. That said, Dominique, I wanted to get some of our regular guys on here this morning to give reaction to one of the most dramatic finishes that we've ever seen. So, Nika, I will give you the floor. That's an incredible finish yesterday. What are your primary takeaways?
Yeah, I mean, I listened in the first segment when everybody, including especially Monday Dan, is ready to fire everybody over what happened. I think if you want to move on from Mike McCarthy, he's given you enough reason to over the course of the season. But I don't think necessarily yesterday was completely on him. If you're going to say that he created a culture in which this type of sloppiness is allowed, that's fine. But we can't be mad at Mike McCarthy, who also does not coordinate the offense or the defense or the special team. This end of game situation is something that every team I've been on, we practice. And we either had officials at the practice or we'd have assistant coaches acting as officials. And I will watch the offensive guys when we were doing 2-minute drill at the end of every practice. They run the ball over and hand it to the official. So for Dak or for McCarthy or for anybody to suggest that the referees did something wrong is, I mean, it's outrageous. They should understand in that situation, as a defensive player, I just knew from watching all the time, if you get tackled as a receiver, you hop up, You take it to the official. I do know that we used to practice, and 14 seconds was the cutoff. When I was in Denver under Mike Shanahan, 14 seconds was the cutoff for how much time you had to get two plays in. It was also assumed that the play before was a pass. The ball obviously travels a lot faster than a runner. So that was a mistake that they made right there, is assuming that 14 seconds works for a run the same way that it works for a pass. But if you're going to try it, like Dan said and like everyone said, you hop up and you find the official. Who would have thought that Larry Fitzgerald would be the star of this Sunday where he's not even playing? But you're absolutely right. He needs to go on tour from team to team, get him another check, just teaching people how to act in last-second situations.
Go ahead, Rex.
Yeah, no, I mean, Dominique's exactly right. You have officials at all your practices, your two-minute, and if not, you have coaches. This clearly looks like they might have practiced it the whole time. I'm not doubting that. But what they didn't practice, which was clear to me, is handing the ball to the official.
Yeah.
Period. The biggest thing you could do in that situation is make sure you find the official, give him the ball. He has to spot it. It's not like, oh, I love it. He has to touch the ball. He has to spot the football.
Right.
And that's something that, look, your center can't spot it. The quarterback can't spot it. The official has to spot the football. That's what was lost.
Can I touch on something that Dom said that I actually think is a really good point? He talked about usually the ball is thrown, not a run.
Yeah. Right.
And this is part of the reason I didn't think about this till you said it, that I didn't like the play. I think it's brilliant because, one, you made the point, the ball is going to travel faster than a person running it. There was an easy completion of Dalton Schultz right there. And to Dom's point, when you're practicing two-minute drill, thousands and thousands and thousands of reps, 99 out of 100 times, it is a tight end receiver or a back doing the act of getting tackled in bounds and getting to the official. It's not your quarterback.
Right.
So while you may have practiced it, your receivers, the ball handlers, have a much more kind of much more experience in doing exactly that. I think that's a good point by Dom, throwing the football.
Go ahead, Nate.
I would say also that it's sad that it turned out this way for Mike McCarthy, because this was actually his best performance of clock management. He managed to call those timeouts before halftime to force that punt. Great job. He managed to have three timeouts at the end of the game in order to try to force another punt situation. This was much better than what Mike McCarthy has done all season. Like, if we're being honest,
he did
his masterful job of clock management, and still all the other problems, the sloppiness of the team, got in the way. But I'm not trying to be funny. This is true. Mike McCarthy would have squandered those timeouts in previous games.
Can I ask you quickly, and we joke around here, but about your, you know, you have been a big supporter of and believer in Dak Prescott for a long time, to the point that we call you his cousin and all that kind of stuff. What did you take away from his performance in general? The last 14 seconds notwithstanding, how did you feel about the game he had yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, it was underwhelming. It was underwhelming. I think that one of the interesting things is that Rex in the first block, and also a lot of people have talked about Kellen Moore stepping in as the new head coach. I don't know how you watch this team the last 8 to 10 weeks and think that Kellen Moore has earned a job as a head coach in this league. And I think it's fair you to be critical of Dak, but you paid Dak. And Dak is much better than most quarterbacks in the league. So Dak had a bad game? Absolutely. He put them in a reasonable position at the end. He deserves some criticism. But the one person who I think has skated some on this and is still considered like a top head coach candidate, despite the fact that his league best offense kind of looked like garbage for much of the second half of the season and was woefully disappointing in the game yesterday when they only had 7 points for the grand majority of the game. Like, that's interesting to me that Kellen Moore is still getting kind of waved around. And as much as we're critical of Mike McCarthy, that last second draw, that's either on Dak or Kellen Moore. Mike McCarthy didn't call that in.
He approved it, right? I mean, I would imagine that they had the conversation of, this is going to be our play call. Hey, and this is, if he's not on the headset figuring out what they're doing in that situation, that's even worse than approving the play call. I think it's fair to say what you're saying about Kellen Moore. In relation to Dak Prescott, I think it was, as far as seeing the field-wise, his worst game in years that I've seen from him. Just, he did not see the field well. But you're not going to fire Dak Prescott. I mean, this plays a perfect example. Second and 28, I'm calling a completion. It's quarters coverage, Dom. You know this. That backside safety kicks to that trips. Dak is staring down there. The ball should go up to the perimeter because of that kick. He forces the ball into the inside. That pivot route to the bottom of the screen is wide open. That turnover equals points. That's a huge difference in this football game. This time you're going to get three buzz weak. Dom, you notice I'm going to carry that hook defender backside. Now watch what happens up top of the screen with the in route. That's wide open. Dak's not even looking there. And that's exactly where the ball should go. And he forces another incompletion. So it was a bad performance by Dak Prescott, but you're not getting rid of him. To Kellen Moore's point, are you the number one offense because you're phenomenal on offense, or are you because you play in the NFC East? I think that's the question you have to walk away from that football team.
Rex, go.
Well, no. Kellen Moore, though, is homegrown, and I'm basing things on history. I don't know Kellen Moore. I just know history of this franchise right here. And if they think they have a guy, Jason Garrett, whoever like that, they're going to go Dave Campbell. They're going homegrown.
Right.
I don't know Kellen Moore. I call him Boy Wonder. All right? So I did it. But I do recognize the fact they've been the number one offense in the league, what, 3 out of 4 years or whatever he's done. So he's done a decent job.
They need a coach who is not scared to stand up to Jerry Jones. They need Rex Ryan.
Dominique, I love you, and man, are you a smart guy. But you know what's funny, though? But they'll never do it because here's the thing, and not me or anybody else, they're not going to hire a guy that's going to challenge Jerry Jones or whatever. He needs to have a guy that can work in concert
with him. That's fair. Candidly, as you look up and down that roster, Jerry Jones has done his job better than the coaches seem to have, at least if the names on the backs of the jerseys. Neek, I so appreciate you doing this. Thank you very much. We will see you back up here tomorrow as usual. In the meantime, Super Wild Card Weekend, we save the best for last. Tonight on ESPN, ABC, and ESPN+, Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, Matt Stafford and the Rams, mega cast including Peyton and Eli. It's going to be spectacular. Don't miss it. All the action tonight. Wild Card Weekend, Monday night. As we continue, more on Doomsday in Dallas. We will get Ed Werder in here for the very latest. Is it possible that last night was Mike McCarthy's last game? We'll talk about it right after this. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
You are watching Get Up, presented by T-Mobile.
You just look out on this field. This represents big-time football. It just looks like a big game. Throw on left. Kayvon Williams with the interception.
Yeah, this is not what the Cowboys wanted to do.
He can run for the end zone. Touchdown, Cowboys.
Index card game and a playoff game. You got to go for it here.
Well, there's the quarterback sneak, and he's got the first down, and there's full start. They are going to get their hands on the ball again, the Cowboys. Prescott runs up the middle and slides. Didn't get it spiked in time.
Saw the 4 seconds, thought it was time, but just tough to accept.
That's one of the wildest finishes that we have ever seen. And when there's big news and big D, this is the man you wanted from. Ed Werder gets up with us here. Ed, thank you. So the Cowboys lose a heartbreaker, and there's so many questions about penalties and clock management and everything else. What should we be expecting the fallout to be here?
Yeah, I think it's hard to say, Mike, because after their shocking failure of Mike McCarthy's first playoff team, losing in the opening round at home, Jerry Jones walked out of the locker room, walked directly over to a small group of reporters, myself included, and, you know, he was coming out of the losing locker room, a place he never expected to be yesterday, and he made that quite evident. He said, you know, when you get this combination of players together, you have to have success. He described himself as extraordinarily disappointed, said he couldn't remember a loss that made him feel more disappointed. And when I asked him about the potential of a coaching change, Mike, he didn't dismiss the possibility altogether as I expected he might. Instead, he said, I don't even want to discuss anything like that at this particular time. You know, he made it very clear that this was a uniquely talented roster and, in his mind, a huge opportunity that this franchise blew to you know, try and get back to an NFC Championship game or better for the first time in 25 years. He described himself as being sick about this loss. So what Jerry Jones does now in reaction to this, I think is really hard to predict. He didn't take off the table the possibility of making a coaching change. And the timetable on that's going to be forced on him, right? Because this week, starting last night, some of those teams that have Kellen Moore, their offensive coordinator, and Dan Quinn on their list of prospective head coaches began contacting the Cowboys and trying to coordinate interviews with these people.
And Rex has brought up repeatedly the homegrown nature, particularly of Kellen Moore, and that it does play into the history of Jerry Jones to some degree in Dallas. Is that your expectation, that if a move is made with Mike McCarthy, that it would be Moore's job?
You know, I think it's hard to speculate. I know they covet Kellen Moore. It's not unlike the Jason Garrett situation when the Cowboys brought him in, didn't feel he was ready to be the head coach, made him Wade Phillips' play caller, and then at the right moment, in their minds, Jerry made an in-season coaching change for the first time in his career, and Jason Garrett was the head coach in Dallas for 10 years. But my sense is that, and he also, maybe he plays off the fear of, hey, this is like when I lost Sean Payton to the Saints, you know? He was one of the great young offensive minds in football, and now we don't have him forever. So it could be that he covets Kellen Moore. I'd be surprised if it's not Dan Quinn's situation that makes him react, if he's going to, because Dan Quinn's going to get a head coaching opportunity. I'm not quite so sure about Kellen Moore in this cycle. And what he's done on defense, I think that's something you'd really like to build on. But I don't know how he values Mike McCarthy and all he's done compared to these two assistant coaches at this time.
Ed, outstanding. Thank you for getting up here. We will stay close to you because this figures to be a very interesting day down there. In the meantime, let me get through the other games. Last night, Dan, AFC wildcard matchup, Steelers and Big Ben, last hurrah against Kansas City. Pick it up early here. And this may not be what we were expecting from Patrick Mahomes in the first quarter and score.
It's a fantastic job by TJ Watt, scraping down the line of scrimmage. And right when Patrick goes to throw that ball, kind of on that crossing behind him, he gets his hands up, early turnover for the Steelers defense.
Scoreless after one, and then more Steelers defense. Rex, we're going to wind up with T.J. Watt and picking it up and taking it home.
Yeah, I mean, here's the NFL Defensive Player of the Year. Now he's got the scoop and score for a touchdown. And then I'm sitting back going, oh, my gosh, could Pittsburgh really steal this game?
You didn't think that.
No, I didn't.
Dan, you didn't like the play there.
Well, miscommunicate. You know, the ball handling between receiver and running back, how many reps did you get at it? Beautiful job by Cam Hayward coming out, forcing that ball out. And as Coach talked about, T.J. Watt picking up the scoop and score.
That was his first career touchdown. And then Mahomes went nuts.
Hey, defenses.
Shuffle
the
pass.
Chiefs are going to run shuffle pass down on the goal line, right? You get the motion. Patrick pump fakes it. And then the under hand flip to McKinnon. I love the play design.
That one winds up tying the game at 7. He was just getting started. Then Ben, Deontay Johnson. Oh, that could have been a big play.
Sometimes this is who Deontay Johnson is, though. I mean, they had to play perfect football to stay in this game. He's such a talented player. The drops have become an issue again.
Steelers punted on all 7 of their first half drives. The Chiefs did not.
Greeny, this is two things I love. The pump fake and then how quickly that ball got up and down to Pringle.
Yeah, it's a great play there. And then Travis Kelce and the Chiefs are starting to roll.
Backbreaker. Escapes out the right side. Kelce sees it the same way. He separates from his defender. Patrick throws it on a rope. Touchdown, Kansas City.
You see there, that was with 13 seconds left in the half. And then how about Tyreek Hill to put a little exclamation point on the proceeding?
Watch him inside slot. You don't get hands on him. It's night-night. That inside fade, he's got all that space to go to. His speed downfield. If you don't jam him at the line of scrimmage, you can't hang with him.
Rex, he stole your dance.
Yes, he did.
Nice respect at the end there. Mahomes, Roethlisberger sails off into the sunset with a postseason loss. Chiefs win it 42-21. Meanwhile, the early game yesterday, Brady and the Bucs, Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. No Leonard Fournette for the Bucs, but they wouldn't miss him much. They still ran it yesterday. First play of the game, Keyshawn Vaughn.
Really nice job. You pull your front side tackle, Wirfs. He gets a great block on the linebacker. Nice physical run by Vaughn to start the game.
And they end the drive with this. Giovanni Bernard comes back.
Methodical, right? A bunch of early completions, quick run game. Gio Bernard follows that bunch set. Easy touchdown for the Bucs.
But here's where not getting the bye is a big factor. Wirfs gets injured in this game, Rex. That's
yeah,
bad.
That's a huge loss right there. All-pro right tackle, and that is a big loss.
Yeah, you see, he came back in the game, but there he gets beat easily here, so he would not play for the rest of the game. We'll see if he's available next week. They will play either the Rams or Arizona. Meanwhile, Eagles looking to score before the half. Dan, it hurts just a little late here.
A little late, yeah, and, you know, he doesn't have the arm strength to be able to throw that ball on the run without flipping his hips. You get the pressure. He's got to flip his hips to try to get enough on it. Too late interception by Edwards.
17-0 at the half, and it's Gronk.
Well, he's not in the scouting report, so
why would you cover him?
Just trying to get a name for himself in the NFL, snuck up on everybody.
And then ensuing drive for the Eagles, desperation, fourth down, they're going for it.
And the pressure comes, Shaq Barrett drops out. You know, Jalen Hurts has got to give this ball a chance to get completed. It's an incredible interception by Shaq Barrett, and nice design by Todd Bowles.
And then the very next play.
Play action. 12 personnel, protection. Mike Evans crosses face of the free safety. Brady's got all day to find him. Beautiful throw, beautiful catch.
Yes, and I spent the rest of the second half watching the Beatles stuff on Disney Plus. Meanwhile, tennis first major of the year rolls on down under. Our first round coverage continues tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN Plus. Continues on ESPN2, 11:30 Eastern. Every point of every match can be seen live on ESPN Plus. We're just getting rolling here. Much more on the Cowboys to come, where the D and Big D stands for what the actual heck was that? We're all over the craziest finish ever. Ryan Clark will join us as always coming up in just a moment here on Get Up, which is brought to you as always by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network. From where you tailgate, only T-Mobile keeps you connected to your team with the most 5G coverage nationwide. Switch to T-Mobile, the leader in 5G.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.